favorite. Alrighty, folks, it's a huge week of fantasy football. All the trades have been done. Not all of them, because there's some fucking wankers out there that just welsh on deals all the fucking time. But enough of that shit. Despite the whole competition being against me, I've come up against my bunny, and I've belted him from breakfast asshole once again. And Merca, you got defeated. I win. You lose. Suck shit. So, we're celebrating good times. We have plenty to get through with more trades in this last week than almost the entire rest of the year. It's absolutely huge. So, without further ado, let's jump ahead and find out how awesome I was. I mean, sorry, all the trades. And let's get cracking.
Brought to you by Ponyfish Islanders, because he's got his nose so far up your business, it's hard to know where he ends and you begin. Here comes Ponyfish Islanders with all the trade news.
And it was a massive, massive week on the trade table last week. The week before closing week. Oh, no, it was closing week. So, shut down, everything shut down now. 12 trades done, which is the trades going all the way up. One third of the trades going back to the pre-draft trades. So there's 37, I think it was, all up, and 12 of them done. 42, and there were 12 done. So almost a quarter of the trades done in 1 week. So that's what happens when Geelong Vipers wakes up and decides that, hey, I should improve my team. And to help me to work out whether he actually did that or not, here is Ponyfish Islanders.
Oh, how are we all doing?
Oh, going well. You know, fresh off a victory. So, you know, man always feels good after a win.
It was such a busy week that I've been having to play FIFA pretty hard with Manic Monkeys and kind of just start to relax again. That was quite stressful.
Seriously? Yeah. FIFA instead of the potty. Where's the commitment?
Right. I'm here now. Let's smash these trades
smash
out. There's been a lot of work done by the league.
There's been a lot of work done, and first up on the list is Slippery Gypsies and Dazed and Confused. So Slippery received Axel Foley and Dazed third, and Dave's picked up Snelling and Slips eighth.
Yeah, okay, so 5-round slide for Snelling, who's averaging about 80, so probably a nice little pickup there from Dazed for that price.
Yep. So interesting. Yep, I mean, yep, forwards are the hard bit to do. But yeah, so interesting.
And at that stage, Dave still had Butters that we'll come down to a little bit later on in our trade wrap, and you know, you would have been looking for a replacement. So yep, not a bad low cost option.
There you go. Yep, not too shabby. Yep, Slip moves up the order a little bit, and trying to build himself a nice little egg there.
Yep.
Of picks. Next up, speaking of eggs of picks, Slippery got Vipers first for Jager O'Meara.
Wowee, yeah, that is a shock that Vipers would trade away a lottery start of the draft pick. How old's O'Meara?
I think he's 28 at the start of next season.
Oh, has he had an injury history?
I believe he's had more knee reconstructions than Merck has had UDL cans, so... the bionic knees are there.
Well, I thought you were going to say more knee injuries than Merca has STDs.
Wow. Yeah, that too.
But you've gone with another acronym.
That's it.
I'm not sure about that trade, but I think Vipers probably knowing that he's going to be out of finals for the first three seasons of the league. He's obviously all in for next season.
But all in with a guy who's never averaged 100, has had more knee recos than Merck has had.
STDs.
Yep. And, yeah. And he's averaging 90 this year, and I don't see a 28-year-old in a Hawks team like this suddenly jumping back to a 105-plus player.
No, probably not. Can I ask you a question? What did you think of it from Slippery Gypsy's side? Would you have sold for the lottery first?
Well, if he thinks he's not going to make finals, then yes. But I mean,
or if he's mid-heavy.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's too hard to keep up to date with all these teams. Let me have a quick squiz here.
He felt mid-heavy with a few maybe turning to mids potentially as well.
Yeah, for next season.
Yep.
Or yeah, team breakdowns. Busy. Lyons, Petrarca, Parrish, Smith, Kerr, Yo, and then I presume Zach Bailey will be mid only next year. Langford maybe, if he keeps him.
Langford probably, but once Essendon get players back, he could turn into mid forward again.
Back forward again, yeah. But he might have to keep him as a mid to start with before trying to get him back.
So I think that was it. I think there was the Langford one that he knew he was going to be mid only. He was going to have to then keep 8 mid onlys. So he had to sell either him or Langford, and Langford potentially turning into a forward again, won the day.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, it's a good a first for Jago. If he thinks he's not in consideration, well, that's probably good for Slip. I don't know that I would have done it for John if I was Vipers.
No, especially not a lottery one. But we'll see what happens on the lottery in a couple of weeks' time.
Correct. So then next up, Vipers decided that, hey, this trading thing's pretty cool. So he's gone and picked up Tom Phillips for a fifth from Legless.
Tom Phillips for a fifth. Look, I mean, he played all right on the weekends, and I know Legless is, you know, pumping his tyres a bit. But, yeah, I mean, for a fifth, you're saying you're going to keep Tom Phillips. But fuck me, do you want to keep Tom Phillips?
Well, considering he'll be mid only next year and he's averaging 65, even if he has a 25% increase, he's going to be 80 averaging, 85 at best averaging mid next year.
Oh, I think you're being generous.
Well, as I did say, at best.
He's probably more likely a mid 70s mid only. And yep. In the fifth round, I think, you know, Ed Curno, I think I got Selwood later than that. They're probably going to average that anyway. Like, you probably could get better at the fifth. So, yeah, not too sure about that. But I don't know.
Well,
he might get a 100 average.
Well, if he somehow keeps forward status, then I suppose if he gets back to 80, that's not bad. But I can't see him keeping forward status.
No, I don't think so either. So, yeah, not too sure about that. But once again, he's going all in on next season.
And, yeah, speaking of going in all in next season, he's decided to pick up Dazed first. So that's awesome for him, picking up Dazed first to get in early to have the best picks for next year, and gave up Warden Tui for a first.
Yeah, so, yeah, I suppose both of them would have been just fringe keepers based on a poor 13. So I suppose, yeah, getting a first, I mean, it's going to be a late first. Being Dazed, but, yeah, I don't know. What was your thoughts on that? That one's...
Yeah, I look, Ward and Tui are both what they probably need.
Fringe keepers.
Yep, but the depth for what he needs for this year, which is what he's after, and that's what he gave up. So I think that's actually pretty reasonable from both sides there.
Yeah, it's probably pretty reasonable. It's just a bit blah, but yeah, that's fair.
Well,
enough.
I mean, Warden Tui, especially with the form Tui's in, that could be the difference between him winning and losing.
Definitely so for dazed. Yeah, I like it for dazed. It's more from the Viper side, but I suppose even if they were keepers, they kind of keep at 11, 12, 13. Just fillers. So if you can get first for it, I suppose it's not too bad, and not bad from Day's side. Just some mid depth, and Tui obviously had a great game on the weekend. So see if he keeps that up.
Mm. So next up, Viper just thought he'd just keep on rolling. So he's picked up Janelio and Stars first for Zeeble and Libba from Stars.
Yeah.
And he gets a fourth back.
Yeah, he's certainly cashed in on Zeeble now. I was half expecting he might keep Zeeble just because he didn't have a lot else to really keep that was any good. But yeah, I suppose he's cashed out pretty high. Libba obviously can always be a bit of an injury risk. So to get Coniglio, who once again is pretty injury prone and around the same age as Jom, I think, is a risk.
Might be a year or two younger. So theoretically in the prime of his midfield life.
Probably not bad to get, prime Coniglio with a few niggles and a first. That's probably not too bad for a rebuilding Vipers. And for Stars to get Zeeble averaging 106, although a little bit down in the last month, but, still 80, 90. That's a great pickup. And then, Libba's obviously just a depth, but very handy depth.
Well, not this week, he's not.
Yeah, a bit unfortunate for him, but I'm sure he'll be around come finals.
Finals
so,
time, yep.
Yeah, it'll be coming very handy.
Mm. So then next up, Disposable Heroes picks up Lockie Ash and Langdon from DT87 plus his second and gives up Houston, Rosie and his six.
Yeah, it wasn't.
This is an interesting move considering Disposables is, his favourite. It'd have to be with pumping out 1700s 3 weeks in a row now, or pretty close, 3 out of 4 anyway. So, interesting move.
Look, the rumblings around the league after this one dropped was that Dream Team 87 had maybe given up slightly too much. Probably the pick swap didn't need to be included in the trade. But I think he was quite high on Rosie, and I think he then felt Houston was going to give him better cover for mid-defense. So I guess that's why he threw the pick in and satisfied Disposables.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems funny that Disposables traded for Ash after not finding a 13 spot for him. But, I suppose he's brought him back in. He just needs Leon Cameron and the guys to start picking him.
That's it.
Yeah.
Odd move for a guy in contention, but I suppose when you're pumping out 1700s, you can probably lose a bench spot and have one eye on tomorrow as well.
Has he seen a need in his midfield to bring Langdon in and kind of felt like he had to do that deal to get Langdon?
I think Langdon was just steak knife, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. That kind of balanced the Houston part out, but it kind of then pigeonholed that he had a mid only instead of a defense mid.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Interesting move. Hmm. I guess we'll never know.
No, but, that midfield's looking not too shabby with Ross, Gaff, Simpkin, Green's probably the worst or the most inconsistent. The better Brayshaw, Langdon and Wines is, probably not too shabby.
No, not too many holes there.
Hmm. So, not too bad. So next, your good self picked up Duray for Bramble and a bit of a pick swap, 4th to 7th.
Yeah, so was just looking for, don't get me wrong, it's easy to say in hindsight. Obviously, Bramble's had another good game and outscored Duray. But in the long run, just feel like Duray for the stretch run of the finals is probably going to be a safer option than Bramble. Bramble could easily throw in a 30 or a 40. Well, I don't think Duray will do that. So it was robust negotiations with Slippery Gypsies, as it always is.
I imagine it would be. I'm surprised Slip had any energy left after doing two trades already.
And I did see a message to Legless where he said after the trade, fuck, Pony was tough to negotiate with. Because I basically, I'd left the table, I told him, fuck it, nah, you're asking too much. He was asking for a lot more. But nah, go away. Go fucking sell him to Days or someone then. Oh, go see Days. All right, go see Days. Comes back, oh, you want to do this then. All right.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was an interesting discussion with him, but we found common ground in the end, which was good.
No, it's good. Yeah, so, yeah, you just hope the flexibility helps in the finals. So, yeah, interesting on the way home.
Yep.
Now, after picking up all these firsts to start rebuilding his team, Viper's gone and done something.
He's gone and spent it.
Gone and spent them all. Two firsts that he's picked up in earlier trades, plus Ross, who's been not half bad so far this year from the, I don't know, where's he gone? What's he averaging now, Ross?
Quick look, 82. Yep.
So, yeah, so not spectacular, but solid enough for Max Gawn. Two firsts and a Ross for a Max Gawn.
How would you be if you're Max Gawn going from disposables, premiership favourite, heading to Geelong Vipers, never made finals?
Yes. Yeah. In the twilight of your career, you normally go the other way to a team in contention, not a team out of contention.
You'd be gutted. And then I guess Ross in reverse, he's gone from AJS Hawker to Vipers to...
Well, he went from AJS Hawker to the scrap heap, actually.
To living in luxury. Disposable. So, yeah, how things can change for these players. But
that's it.
Look, that's really gutted all the picks that Fife has had early in the draft. So,
look, tell me about it.
He has certainly improved his 13 with some kind of mid to late 20 pickups. But boy, oh boy, is he going to have a tough time picking up some depth in that draft.
Yes.
Well, and did this deal hurt any other potential deals?
Oh, what a fucking love jockey. Already had one stitched up with him, but anyway, we'll get into that in the rumours because he's a fuckhead.
We will do.
But seriously, though, two firsts for Max Gawn is probably close to the going rate, I would have thought.
Yeah, it's about it.
But in that team situation, in a team that's never made finals and never, let's be honest, never even looked like it, you've given up two firsts for a ruckman who, by the club's own admission, is going to be doing less ruck work and have less chance of monster scores now that Luke Jackson is taking more and more time. Is it the move to make when you're on the bottom trying to build?
Well, we heard what our educated friends Itchy and Scratchy were saying as well in the preview podcast, talking about Gawn and Draper. Neither of them, I mean, Gawn maybe down the track might get forward eligibility if Jackson takes enough ruck off him.
Yep.
But otherwise, he's staring down the barrel of keeping two ruck onlys.
So it's interesting. I don't know. So, yeah, I just don't know. Two firsts, especially with, one's not lottery level, but two firsts, you could pick up either some young talent or some reasonable depth.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're two of the shittest firsts that you could possibly give that would be considered first, being Dazed and disposables. But yeah, I mean, you're still going to get something nice at that stage.
Mm.
You know, they're the Braden Campbells and the Gouldens of the world. If you draft carefully, with, you know, some of the other higher price guys going a little bit earlier, you just got to draft well and start the rebuild.
But he's obviously not doing that. He's obviously trying to rebuild the 13 on the run. And, I don't know that Max Gawn with Luke Jackson coming around the corner, Jager O'Meara with dodgy knees, and Phillips are the three that he, well, the players,
and yeah, Kinnick,
three,
yeah.
and Cogs. So, yeah, the most upside there I see is Cogs if he if he stays fit. The rest at best are going to hold. Well, at best are going to hold.
Ceiling's been reached on the others. Yep.
So, interesting strategy there by Vipers. Refused all offers of youth. So, I would have thought if you'd done the hard yards and spent all your time out of the finals that you'd spend another year or two trying to build with some youth rather than trying to get some recycled players in.
Mm.
Different coaches, different strokes, I suppose.
Yep, yep.
So, yeah, anyway, then Legless joined the dump of players movement and got rid of Fingerbanger and Manbun Fife for Motlop. And who's Steve Martin? Does he even play football?
He's just a bloke who gets traded for Andrew Brayshaw, I think. Was it Andrew Brayshaw? Blake Akers.
Akers. So, yes. So, interesting move there by Legless. I'm not sure what he's achieved with that.
Speaking to him about it, I think it's all to do with he feels that Martin's more of a chance of staying forward than Fife. And by including Power Pepper that he wasn't going to keep, he has a slight net positive through potentially having Martin as a forward over Fife, probably as a mid only. So that's the rationale. Obviously, it doesn't really matter for Legless that Martin's ended up getting injured over the weekend. But boy, oh boy, Day's dodged a bullet putting Fife in instead of Martin. And surprisingly, the shoulder apparently is still good to go again this weekend for Fife.
That's it. So interesting manoeuvre there.
Yeah, could easily see within a few weeks that Fife and Martin are both not playing and they've just swapped non-playing players, but we'll see what happens there.
And then Dave has made his team worse by having a finger banger in it.
Yeah, well, at least finger obviously, banger gives him some kind of cover.
The moral standards have slipped that Dave's been confused and he's just, selling his soul to get a crack at the premiership.
Oh, when you're in the window going for a premiership, you'll even have COVID conspiracy theorists on your team, mate. You'll do anything for points.
It's a media beat up that you'd do anything for points. the media wasn't around, there wouldn't be a beat up about going for points.
It'd be no COVID if there wasn't the media around.
Fucking morons. Anyway, lucky they can play football anyway. Well, sometimes. Next up, Days continued his depth building for finals, picking up Walker for Matheson, the barometer.
Was there any pick swapped?
And Days got gave up his six and got back at eight. So marginal.
Yeah, so pretty marginal there, because you think it'll be a relatively early eighth. So about a one-round slide there. Look, if you're in a window and you can get a guy that's averaging 80-odd for bugger all, why not do it?
So I haven't looked at the draw, but I presume Rahul has, and Walker may have some easy matchups in the finals, potentially.
I had a look at Walker and it scared me off. Right. Let's bring it up, just because this is going to be a short podcast anyway, isn't it? No, it's not.
No, it's still a long way to go yet.
So he has an interesting run from here. So next round, obviously the last round of regular season, they play the Bulldogs. Then they play Hawthorn, round one of the finals. It's a nice, juicy one. Then they play Port, second round of finals. Third round of finals, Melbourne. Then they play North Melbourne in the grand final.
Well, that could be very tasty.
So weeks two and three, a little bit dicey, but weeks one and four, not too bad.
So, yeah, depending on fixtures, loopable and see what happens. Or will his arrogance expecting to play in the grand final and holding players come back to bite him as it has done others in the past.
We will see.
So then, yes, next up, Dave's continued with the Taron Thomas pickup from Disposables, who picked up Zach Butters in a swap, straight swap, player for player with no picks, Butters for Thomas.
Interesting one. Dave's finally let Butters go, and he was pretty high on him.
Yep.
And he's obviously seen something in Taron Thomas to do it as a straight swap. And I mean, Thomas didn't let him down over the weekend.
To be fair, I was a bit miffed that Legless picked him up back off the waivers. I think he beat me by a week before I noticed him, but he'd already had him and seen it. But yeah, I don't mind Thomas actually. I think he might be all right.
Yeah, he's come good now. Yeah, so it'd be interesting. I guess if you're swapping Butters for Thomas, you're probably keeping Thomas too. So be interesting how that pans out for Dazed in the long run.
Obviously, Butters is back.
Some talk potentially of him being back as early as this week. But Bassett was just fucking naming everyone on the injury list today. Oh, yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back too. Everyone will be back.
Everyone's
coming back in.
Yep, you get a player back. You get a player back.
So who knows? I would be surprised if he plays this week, but I would think he will make some kind of appearance for Disposables during the finals.
Interesting. And then to finish us off, Ozzie Merker picked up Treloar and Shield and gave the man who shall never leave his team, Gaff, and Robertson, who I assume is just some steak knife, because why is he even on a list?
Why is he on the list?
Yeah, is it D Robertson? Isn't it Dylan? What Robertson is it?
Devin.
Oh, Devin Robertson. Okay.
Devin's all right. What's wrong with Devin?
Oh, no, it's wrong. I was thinking it was a St. Kilda fellow who had the heart attack or whatever he had. I'm thinking, what the hell is he even doing on a list still?
Nah, I mean, come on. Ozzie Merker just uses first round picks on Dylan Robinson.
So, yeah, another interesting trade with both teams in the finals. And, interesting.
Look, I wasn't too sure what Merkel was trying to achieve here because he's given up two blokes that were playing in Gaff, who I would say is probably the prize of the four, as well as Robertson, who I kind of was proud of Ozzie Merker having him and picking him up and look like a long-term potential keeper for him. And then he's flogged him off. And then he's picked up two injury-prone guys in Treloar and Shield. So, I mean, it's kind of the Geelong Vipers model of picking up 27, 28, 29-year-old types that have previously been good. So, look, I mean, it could come off. But,
Shield out for the rest of the year, or is he meant to be coming back soon?
I think he's 1 to 2 weeks away, so he could be back for finals. Treloar, I think, was 2 to 4 legless, and Stars were saying during their podcast, so he's kind of more mid to late finals, if at all.
Yep.
So it's maybe a bit more of a future move, but I think it's also put Ozzie Merker quite mid-heavy now. You've got to keep both of them. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not too sure about that one. We'll see how that plays out over time as well.
Interesting. Very so there you go, folks. There was, yes, that is. And there's, like I said, 12 trades done. So very busy in the last week. Excuse me while I die. And some interesting moves, which... some have puzzled the league and some not too shabby.
Yes. Yep. The game's a bit of excitement. surprising while you die in the background there that no one made any trades kind of in that last hour or so. I know Stars was sitting there waiting to press the button.
Had the potty going and sitting there waiting and, yes, nothing happened.
Yeah, I said to Slippery Gypsies, I'm going to try and stir him up here and pretend that there is a trade coming and then cancel it.
But, yeah, I don't know about that. That's a bit dodgy.
Yeah, that was a bit rough on him.
Poor old Commish was ready to go. He was fired up.
And then nothing.
So and then nothing.
Yeah, so no, it was a good trade period. I think just 37 trades, has that broken the record for the most trades in a season? Probably goes pretty close.
Pretty close. Let's have a look. 37 I've actually included the pre-trade because they happened after the cutout period. So
yeah, that's fair.
34 in 2020. And 34, well, there you go, 34 in 2019. So excluding the pre-trades,
about
35. So if you exclude the pre-trades, which we all got excited, well, I got excited about this year, exclude the pre-trades, we had one more trade for the year. But with the pre-trades, which we'll be doing more and more of, one would assume, I presume you're already starting to talk to players about next year already.
I've seen you in pre-season.
it's trade pre-season now. 42. So basically, yeah, pretty much the same level of trades for the year with the 7 pre-season trades. So pretty steady.
Yep. No, very good. And yeah, it just felt like there was more movement towards the end this season than maybe others.
Did you feel that? There's 12. Yeah, well, because there's 12 this week, and then last year was only 7, and only 1 the first week in the first year.
It may be, like, I think there was a more defined bottom four kind of as we approach finals last year, so those teams probably started selling off a little bit earlier, whereas up until this round just gone, there was certainly teams still in it. I mean, there still is, but kind of a few teams down there started to hedge their bets and say, nah, look, I don't think I'm in. So I think it created a bit more of a rush this season.
Yep. So there you go. Interesting.
Cool.
All right. So that's the all the things that actually did happen. We'll turn the page and find out what could have happened. All righty, Mr. Whisperer, what have you got in store for us? Surely with 12 trades done, there must be a mass of whispers to go along with them.
Yeah, so I thought probably the easiest way to do this so that we try not to miss anyone or anything is just to go team by team.
Yep.
Around kind of what the word was out there. I mean, some teams got all their deals that they were talking about done. Others were still left on the table, so I thought let's start off with yourself. We might go in the current reverse ladder order.
Yep.
I think you had a few different discussions, including the famous Archie Perkins with Geelong Vipers.
Yes, Archie Perkins was sold apparently, but not apparently. So when someone asks for something and then you say deal or done or whatever it was, then apparently that just means you're opening negotiations.
Was no fist bump?
Oh, no, well, apparently he goes the anti-fist bump. He just, I don't know what he does. Obviously, he had all these other deals in mind and then decided that having his third was more important than Archie Perkins.
And boy, oh boy, I have to vouch that you were not impressed.
No, I was just unimpressed.
Fucking furious.
So apart from the fact that what had happened then, I don't know, something had happened, the kids were giving me the shits or something, and then I got this fuckwit on the line saying no after he said yes and complaining that he'd only have one pick in the first 5 rounds. Well, I'm not sure what difference that makes because you know he fucks them up anyway. The only good news for him in this draft is he's got half his picks from the in double figures, so he can't really screw that up because there's nothing left after that. So so one more or one less. For a guy who's already pumped out decent scores, he's lost, I say.
Will you trade or hold discussions with him again in the future?
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, it's hard enough at the best of times. You finally get him to agree to something and he welches. So why would coaches bother anymore?
And I think there was a few other offers that you were throwing around the league. So I think there was talk that you were throwing around Campbell and something else for trying to acquire Furse.
Yeah, Campbell and Perkins were a package deal for a couple of people.
A couple of different firsts that you were targeting. So
yep.
there was no kind of nibbles on them.
No, offered Campbell and offered Campbell and a first for a lottery level first, which was rebuffed. So yes,
would have been tasty.
Would have been tasty, but wasn't to be. So
Drake there Kelly, you go. I think was up for trade.
Yeah, well, like I said, pretty much all of those guys were all up for trade, and despite what Legless thinks, I wasn't asking for firsts for them, but, you know, they're guys who, like they did on the weekend when I defeated Merca, pump out 100, and I think most people should be well aware of this by now, if not already, it's not your premiums that win your finals, it's your depth players that pump out the big scores at the right time that are the ones that win you the finals. Yeah. And I have a few of those people on my list, which no one seemed to want, so they will stay on my list.
Yep.
And spend the preseason training with Hawkers.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, let's move on to the next one. I've probably harassed you enough. So Geelong Vipers. Obviously, we know that he's done quite a bit out there. I'm just having a quick look because most of his stuff, I think he got done. Just seeing if there was any others that I heard he was offering around.
Before the Gawn deal went down, I was offered the same deal for Mitchell.
Yes. So, yes, that was the word. He was certainly speaking to different coaches. So you obviously got the two firsts for Mitchell offer. I got the two firsts for Josh Kelly offer. I can tell you, I said to him, no, not for two firsts. I said, if you give me Dangerfield and two firsts, then I might have to consider it. And he said no. So then that finished pretty quickly. He was just obviously after a big gun just for those two firsts.
Mm.
And I know that he's gone to several other people with that same offer. So I think he's gone to every team saying, hey, here's one of your best players. Here's two firsts. How about it? So that was probably his main play. I don't think there was much else going on, though, that was left on his list. I think a few people have targeted his Dunkley available, and he told them to go away. And that was about it. Obviously, he did all his big moves.
Mm. So
that was Vipers. There wasn't too much left there. Slippery Gypsies. Oh, he's a favourite of people out here. Yeah. So was there any truth to the rumour that you made a play for Trent Rivers?
No, I didn't make a play for him. He offered Trent Rivers to me for, I don't know what he offered, but he offered Rivers to me. He may have offered some other young ones to me as well. I can't remember now. It's a long time ago. He kept trying to crap on that Flynn was the next ruck pig or some bullshit was his opening gambit. And it's like, well, seeing as you've got a ruckman who never plays, you probably should just keep him yourself.
Yes.
So, seeing as Witz is 28 and has had more knee recos than Jager O'Meara, then you probably best keep the ruck pig to yourself.
Yeah, so Slip's another one that, kind of like Vipers, he ended up getting a lot of his deals done that he was trying to do. So probably the only one that was there that was in a few different discussions I know was Shane Edwards, but I think probably with his injury, it probably just spooked a few.
Is he old or does he just look old?
He's quite old, so you would think that he would be quite cheap, but I think the price was still relatively expensive, kind of mid-draft, round five, round six type deal.
Mm.
Probably not that appetizing. I think Legless was sniffing around Drew, and Slip told him to go away.
The next rock pick.
Yeah, I think Legless also sniffed around Bailey Smith. Can't remember what he offered. It was quite a good deal, but yeah, you weren't going to get Bailey Smith off slip. And that was about slip. Obviously, yeah, his other assets that are there are more like the CJs and guys that were injured. So that kind of killed some deals there for him.
Unfortunate timing there. So
Team Awesome, another big liquidator of assets. So what did he still have left there? So, yeah, certainly Buddy Franklin was being thrown around a bit towards the end of the deadline.
I don't suppose he has any big score. I've not had a look, but I don't think he's had any big ones anymore. Even when he kicks bags, his bags aren't resulting in huge scores, I don't believe. It seems to
be pretty consistent, 70 kind of average. So, 76 the last three, 69 the last five. Surprising to get a nibble for him.
Yeah, a high score of 119. It's not gonna bust the bank, is it? The days of him kicking 13 and making 180 are probably well and truly gone.
Yeah, Hooley was getting offered around, so I know Hooley was getting offered for an eighth rounder for a ninth rounder swap. So there's some value there if he got back.
Is he? How long is he? I don't know.
I think he's due to be back about prelims. Prelims for keeper league.
Yeah, that's probably. Yeah, might be worth the risk. Yeah.
Yeah, it was probably surprised no one had a nibble at him, but I think it just showed you probably the top four or five teams were already well stocked, so they're just. Didn't really seem a need of stashing him when there's probably already other injuries sitting there. I know that he did have some discussions around selling the RFA one, which was probably going to be for Jamie Elliott, but I don't think anyone in the end kind of wanted to pay the price. So,
yeah.
Otherwise, he pretty well got his deals done as well, obviously with a bit of desperation right at the deadline.
Yes, so everyone seems to be getting the deals done. Legless.
Yeah, Legless. So Legless did a lot of deals, as we've seen, and was throwing a few different offers out there, really just trying to make his 13 better for next season, not expecting much for finals if he makes it. So probably, I'm just having a quick look again at his team. What he was doing there. There wasn't really a huge amount left there. I think he was trying to sell a Marty, but there was no takers. Other than that, I think that's about it. He's more just got rid of talent, done his trades, picked up a few speculative guys off the free agents list like Constable.
And, yeah, I was just having a look at what he's done with his picks. Hasn't really...
He's got
2 seconds and 2 fourths, so not really... Didn't really...
Super loaded up.
Improve it. Yeah.
Just improve some 13-type players with some of his deals.
Yeah.
Ozzie Merck was very quiet, other than doing the last deal... kind of at the end. I think he's still largely been trying to focus on competing. So I think he was offering around Markov for around about a second, third, fourth rounder type deal, but wasn't getting any nibbles. And then, of course, Markov wasn't named on Thursday or whatever, so then that really kind of killed the market probably leading into the deadline. Interesting that no team kind of, you know, maybe a Vipers or someone didn't go after Jordan Clark. I would have thought still could have probably snagged him for relatively cheap. Just take a punt on him for something very late.
Yeah. Yep.
And stash him. So be interesting to see what Merker does there. I think Florent was also being offered around, but everyone was a little bit scared of Florent. What else? yeah, that was about it for him. Oh, Saad as well. So, yeah, something about Saad and Markov. So, clearly he's got a white Merca policy if you're in his team and you sound like you're not from Australia or you sound like you're religious type.
You're out.
He wants you gone. So, yeah, didn't get any nibbles, though.
Surprising that Merca didn't make a bid for Buddy and get another key forward in his team.
Look, probably with a few of his key forwards at the moment, if that's his preference, Buddy could have been quite handy for a cheap little pickup.
Yeah.
Can't go back in time.
No. DT87 wants to go back in time and relive the grand final glory days. What did he do to try and get himself back up there again?
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's been trying to find a way during this season to try and go back-to-back. With him, I can tell you that Manic Monkeys and DT87 did have a little bit of a chat about Zach Williams going to Manic Monkeys, but that one fell through, probably luckily for Manic Monkeys because Zach Williams is an absolute crab.
Yes.
Obviously picked up Houston. He was offering around Josh Kennedy, but his asking price was about a first rounder. So that scared off a lot of people.
The Sydney one.
Yeah, the Sydney Josh Kennedy mid only, averaging 87.
And the prick's going around next year. He should just fuck off and let Dylan Stevens get in the midfield.
He's blocking out all this good young talent, isn't he?
Just fuck right off.
Did he sign on again?
He signed on again, yeah.
That's fucking disappointing.
That's not what I said. But that was some of the words I used.
What else you got there? The rest of his stuff's mainly been... Yeah, like, I mean, Greenwood, he hasn't offered up, even though he was injured. No one was going after Rock Pig. Other than kind of doing his deal with Ash and that, then there wasn't too much else other than his Zach Williams kind of conversation with Manic. So that was DT87. Manic Monkeys, the man that only did one trade for the whole season. He used to be a big trader.
He used to be. Now he's a trader to trading.
Yeah, very interesting. Because, I mean, it was only the Lipinski deal that he did this season, and that was an absolute mare.
What have we got? Yeah, so I'll... Have I missed that?
That was very early in the season. I think it was about round 2 or 3. Him and me traded Lipinski for a second.
I must be missing a trade then.
You better not be... Well, I think you... No, you didn't end up with that second. That second went somewhere else.
Well, they've only got him down for one trade. I'd have to go back and look at.
Yeah, he only did one. That was his only one.
No. My picks include the preseason one. So, and it's my one.
Oh, okay.
So I must be missing one.
You must be.
I'll have to go back and have a look at Stars' thing.
Yeah, you'll find it on there. It's definitely on Stars' one. Anyway, we must keep moving though, because otherwise Stars gets angry if we get caught up on something for too long and he's been listening. So. Why do you commish Stars?
Whatever.
None of his defenders did Manic offer up.
Wasn't he floating with it and around the people?
Look, I don't think there was that much serious offering of Witherden because I think he thought Witherden was pretty well injured, even though now it looks like he played in the reserves and went okay on the weekend. So I don't think he really seriously floated him because I actually don't think he thought he would have any value for him. He certainly was floating up Matt Kennedy. So had a massive 116 on the weekend. So
I was going to say, that's the sort of guy you probably want to keep. He's coming to form at this time of year as a forward eligible person. I would have thought he'd be the one you'd want to keep if you're in the finals.
I think Manic just felt, even though he's probably going to end up fifth, that he's just not going to do anything in finals. So he was probably trying to take pressure off himself by trying to sell, but obviously didn't end up selling anyway. Kennedy, I think he was only looking for about a round four or five, round seven tight swap. So surprising no one took a nibble. I certainly didn't think that that would be the price, so I didn't go there. So that was interesting. He was floating up his rucks as well, so either Hickey or Ryder was available, but no one came knocking. I think everyone's been pretty set with their rucks now.
To do what?
I'll sit on the bench. side bottom was available for people.
He's a fucking crab. You've got to be my classic team. He's a fucking spud.
Yeah, he's slowing down a bit since they've had to play the kids and they're struggling, hasn't he? He's really turned into a...
Shits me no end.
Yeah, so he was available for kind of a first and another keeper was his asking price. So that certainly wasn't for me. I know Kamish Stars had a chat with him for side bottom. But yeah, price was a bit too prohibitive for what he's dishing out now. Callum Brown and Dacos were both available as other forward options. So everyone's dodged Brown. Dacos, obviously with his injury, just don't know that he'll be back. So that probably killed his market. And he did have like guys like Higgins and potentially Cox up as well. But once again, Higgins with the injury probably killed his market and he's been a bit up and down. And Cox, unless you had a keeper spot, you know, and wanted to play the long-term game, probably someone like Vipers should have, then, yeah, Cox wasn't getting a huge amount of interest either. So, yeah, Manic had a strange little trade period. He had some nice assets, probably was looking for towards top dollar, but probably doesn't hurt that he still has some of them because he's going to play finals and potentially he's on track to maybe play a couple of weeks of finals.
Apologies there, folks. We've had a few technical difficulties which resulted in the rest of the whispers being missed out. Unfortunately, that's all we've got there for that part of the podcast.
Right, well, that's about the worst review ever.
He's going to cop a fair bit now on that review. That was a shocker.
As previously mentioned, we had some technical difficulties, which meant the round review wasn't actually recorded. So just to give you the highlights of what we discussed in some greater detail is, what did we talk about? Basically, what we said is Dazed and Confused was far too good for Stars. We thought Vipers team, you know, if you gave up three first, should probably score more than 13-38 with all the talent that he brought in. He didn't, so it'll be interesting to see if that team gets any better next year. I smashed Merker twice in a year. What a crab. I kicked his ass twice. What else is there? Legless, our record whooping. No bigger whooping handed out in the history of BTTW history. So for a man who gets on the podcast, on the chat and tells everyone how shit they are, well, yeah, anyway, 1264 on a record beating. Does anyone think that'll shut him up? Probably not. Ponyfish continued his run against his bunny Slippery Gypsies. Manic was far too good for DT87, and I really can't be bothered doing more than that, so that's all there is. Big week in for everyone this week. Potential final bursts on the line. Good luck to everyone, and see how you all go. That's all I'm doing.